Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We think it's a great day for a new life.
I loved your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist.
You definitely
need. I
should
go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, as Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Hello, Dr. Henry Cloud.
Hey, Stevie. How
and
are you?
I'm good. And Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Steve and Henry.
Here we are on a wonderful March the 25th, hey, and glad everybody's here.
Can you help me out a little bit?
Certain.
I wasn't on the show that day, I don't think, where you said your mom is a marriage vulture and you want her to be a hummingbird. Who were you talking to?
Well, I was talking
what was
I
that?
Think I was, and I'm not.
I was talking to a guy whose mother was a bit of a presence in his life. He had tried to leave and cleave, but she had grabbed and stabbed. And so she was an ever-present vulture on his shoulder, overlooking everything, questioning everything, second-guessing everything.
American Express mother, don't leave home without her.
Exactly. Right? And my thing was, he's
you
got
guys are so clever.
He's got to shrink this mother down to the size of a hummingbird versus her to be this kind of presence in his life, like a vulture. Let's go with a hummingbird. You know, you can just swat that away and it doesn't cause much damage. That was the context of it.
Got it.
Okay.
So, you know what people are surprised to learn sometimes?
What are they?
You know that verse, leave and cleave in Genesis? Do you know what the Hebrew word for leave means?
I don't know.
Tell us.
Totally forsake or abandon.
Wow.
That's what it means. Same word that was used a lot of times, I think, when you know, the nomadic tribes would leave a campsite and go never to come back.
And
we know it doesn't mean abandon the person, never have a relationship with them, because the rest of the Bible talks about how we're supposed to do that. But it does mean to forever forsake that attachment as a source
as
of life for you, or where you are resourced by it. That's what parents do, right? And guardians and managers. You're supposed to get rid of that.
At a minimum. It is saying, this is a very definitive moment here, and you can't and aren't supposed to go back. And yet, how many times have we heard about a guy who moves back home with his mother because marriage wasn't exactly what he thought it would be?
True.
Or
kids that just keep going back to their parents because they can't quite make it without them.
Yeah. Right. I remember from literally the time as far back as I can remember, my father... It had to have been, you know, when I started school. But he always told me two things. He said, son, make sure you study because you're going to college. It's already paid for. I'm saving for it. You never have to worry about it. You're going to college. Number two, when college is over, don't look for another penny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And I remember that, like, that was just like, you know, today's Wednesday or something.
Right.
It was just a structure of life. And I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah, it just, there was no question that they'd help with college.
Yeah, he let you know exactly
what
he was willing to do.
Versus, you know, come live with us, get your feet on the ground. Yeah. When you're 32, you can finally move out or something.
Or in California, I think it's 47.
47, grow up. All right. Okay, you're listening to New Life Live, and our website is newlife.com. It's easy to find. And our phone number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help or you would like to help us, it's the same number. But if you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. Now, we'll take this short little break. We'll come back and go right to the phones with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Jill has written The Secrets Women Keep. Henry's newest book is Necessary Endings. We'll be back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Jill Hubbard. It is the Committee of Three here today, and we're talking with Anna from Glendale, Arizona. KPXQ is the station. Hello there.
Hello.
How you doing today?
All right.
Well, that's good. How could we help you?
I would like to know how I can better communicate with my sister when we continue to push each other's buttons.
And you guys live in the same home and share a bedroom.
No,
I'm
sure. No.
What's the situation?
I'm the oldest. She's the youngest.
How old are you?
I'm 47.
How old is she?
She's 44.
Okay.
Or right. 43.
Well, give us a little.
Were there any in between?
Yes. My middle sister, Barb, is always in the middle.
Is she in the middle of this dispute, too?
Frequently, yes.
Frequently. Okay, so give us a little bit of reality here of how she pushes your button.
Well, according to her, I'm the bossy older sister.
Is that true?
And I feel that I used to be.
Have you apologized?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you asked her how that felt to grow up with an older sister who was always telling her what to do and to tell you that story?
We've tried to talk about things like that, but the biggest thing is we live in separate states now, and anytime she comes to visit, when she's on vacation, she drinks a lot. And that's when she starts preaching, and nobody's as good enough Christian as she is and all that kind of stuff. And so after listening to your show, I've told her, you know, I just choose not to be around her when she's been drinking. Mm-hmm.
You think she's an alcoholic?
Oh, well, yeah, because I'm a recovering alcoholic for 20 years myself. Okay. So.
How were the parents in that area?
Our parents?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dad's passed away, but I know it's an issue with my mom, too. Mm. I mean, my mom, when she's come to visit her even occasionally, because her husband was in law enforcement, and she's told her that she shouldn't be driving because she's been drinking, and how would that look on her husband if she got pulled over?
There's more important questions than that.
Yeah.
Often a genetic link there. Now, how could we help you? What's the question for us?
Well, it seems like every time we talk, we start in a screaming match.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time she called me up because she had asked me not to mention anything to my... She had told me about some news in the family and not to say anything to my sister, Barbara. And so I had called her and I was talking with my sister, Barbara, her husband, who has medical issues. And in the course of the conversation, it came up because of the fact that, like I said, Carolyn will probably be mad because she wanted to tell you, but I don't know when she was going to do it, but if it were me, I'd want to know.
Okay, so what was that big information, real quick?
that one of our cousins had tried to commit suicide.
Okay. So, and that led to a shouting match.
Well, my mom had called my sister Carolyn for the phone number to my cousin's brother so okay. that she could find out what the status was. And that's when she laid into my mom, and my mom told her that...
I'm lost.
So I know. So
I'm sorry.
So
I'm having...
a lot of things kind of go round and round and round.
And exactly. And
okay.
coming back, and that's how our telephone conversations go.
Okay. Right. So okay. how could we help? So, what's the question?
How can I try to stop? I mean, the last time I spoke with her on the phone... And she continued to scream and go around in circles. I just told her, I obviously this telephone call is not going anywhere, so I'm going to have to say goodbye.
That's
and
good. Was,
good, yeah. I can't talk to you when you're screaming at me.
And then it was a battery of emails back and forth how, you know, I...
Okay, let me ask you a question.
It was always about me.
Yeah, it sounds like she's got a lot of complaints, right?
She has an explosive anger, and then it... She explodes at you.
Right. And you've sat down and tried to understand all of her complaints about the older sister and listened to her, and you've tried all that you can try, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if that's...
And it just gets into a screaming match.
Yeah. Well, if that's true and you've tried it, one thing you could do is say, I'm really a little bit I'm kind of out of answers here. I want to be close to you. And, you know, if there's things I've done that... have hurt you, I'm sorry. I'd, you know, be willing to apologize for those. But what's not helpful is, you know, we don't get anywhere when we talk. And my experience is that you get frustrated with me and start to yell and scream. And so it's probably not good as long as that's happening for us to talk anymore until we can really talk and maybe go see somebody together.
Anna?
And that's what I basically told her.
Okay. So she's, you know, you said you're in recovery. She is not. Okay, so she's going to be acting out of her alcoholism, right? And so to...
And that's what makes it hard, too, because I know exactly.
Right.
Right. So
and you don't
so
talk
you,
to drunks, right?
Yeah.
While
so,
they're drunk.
So you know that. But what Henry was showing you is that it's not about each and every little incident that happens because the pattern is the same.
Right.
Right. So you really don't get anywhere going down the path. Well, she said this or he said this. That doesn't help. But talking about the relationship as a whole and how you guys communicate and when it's working and when it's not. And I think you do have to set boundaries with her as to what your comfort level is. And she's not going to like that.
And just.
And that's basically what she says.
Why do you need to win with her? Why, when she sends you an email, why do you need to. Answer that
point.
Email and one-up her a little bit.
Well, I didn't. I responded to, I guess I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the same thing when she says something to you that escalates the intensity, you don't have to come back with anything. You know, you're a recovering alcoholic. If the only thing you had to live by was a serenity prayer, you would be accepting the fact that you can't change her.
Right.
And you would be changing you courageously, and you'd know the difference. And you'd know the difference.
Right. And earlier when I said, you know, you have that conversation saying, unless you want to go talk with somebody together or do something different, you know, I don't think we should talk. Okay. So then she calls you, and you don't answer. And she sends you an email, and you don't respond. So for this to go on, it takes two people to have a tug of war. So if you're in the serenity mode, like Steve said, you let go of your end of the rope. You can't get in an argument if you're in control of yourself and you refuse to get engaged.
And if she was calling us, we'd have some other things to say to her, but you're all we've got to work with to solve the dilemma of two sisters pushing each other's buttons.
Right.
Okay.
She's the baby in the family, and she sounds like she kind of tantrums a lot.
Yeah.
Well, she's an alcoholic, and that's what alcoholics do. She's just doing what she gets paid to do, just drinking and tantruming and
Yeah,
and she's a binge drinker, so she's not always...
And my hunch is when she comes at you with your craziness and with her craziness and all these accusations, you try to set the record straight, right? And you try to give her the truth.
Yeah.
Well, that's not working.
Mm-mm.
So just empathize with it. Say, oh, I'm sorry that's hard for you. Okay. Sounds like you're having a hard day.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. Hope you like it, and hope something we've said has been helpful to you. But, you know, like the Geico commercial, it takes two to tango. And, you know, you get three in there, it's difficult, too. But you just...
What is the... I haven't seen it.
Oh, they ask the question, does it take two to tango? And they've got three people dancing, proving that it only takes two.
Oh, is that the guy that looks like...
The little green lizard.
Yeah.
No, the guy that... Is it true?
That guy.
Oh.
He's funny.
He is funny. All right, let's talk with Jane. Jane's calling from Chicago. WYLL is the station. Hi, Jane. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi there.
My question is, how do you start living again when you want to die, basically?
Tell us how you've gotten to this place.
I guess many things. Starting with my early 20s, I mean, right out of high school, I had him get married because I was pregnant. My ex, well, he was an alcoholic. His whole family were alcoholics. And he was, when he lost his job, he became verbally, physically, and sexually abusive to me. It wasn't until he started on my son that I had the courage to leave, but all I did is hop into another relationship just so I could get out of that one.
Okay. So how could we help you today?
I am trying to find a way. The last 4 years have been the worst years of my entire life. I am under the care of a psychiatrist, but I don't believe in him. I've tried therapy, and that never worked.
Let me interrupt for 1 second. Why has therapy not worked, and what do you mean when you say you've tried it?
Well, all they ever did was ask me, how did your day go? They never got into all the stuff that I haven't recovered from.
Yeah, that's really sad because the reality is that therapy does work, and it's very, very effective for many, many things. And one of them is, you know, the kind of despair and wanting to die kind of feelings that you have. My sadness for you is it sounds like that there have been some attempts and you've tried, but probably, you know, it sounds like maybe haven't found somebody that knows how to help you with what you're struggling with, because I can't imagine a therapist just that all they would do is say, how was your day? That's really weak therapy. And
well,
so
I've been to 5 therapists, and every one of them, I'd go there and they go, so how did your day go today?
That's really sad.
Yeah,
that's really sad, because what happens in good therapy is you get to the causes of why you're feeling the way you feel, and you learn new ways, you know, to not feel that way anymore.
How's your relationship with your son?
You ever hear of Cats in the Cradle? I guess I feel guilty because I'm glad I got him away from his father.
Okay. Is your relationship with him a good relationship now, or is it strained?
It's strained.
Yeah, because it sounds like to me that he could really help his mom establish some things and find you really do need a good counselor that's going to help you, along with what the psychiatrist does. Psychiatrists usually don't, deal with therapy. They deal with the medication kind of
stuff. Right, and that's just a small piece of it. Medication alone isn't going to be the most helpful, but with therapy it can be great. But Jane, it sounds like there has been a lifetime of hurt, and the fact that you were pregnant in your 20s suggests that maybe there's a lot more going on earlier in life. And you know, it's hard because when we've had such a long history of hurt, we start to see things in exactly the same way, and we repeat things. unknowingly that we are contributing to that, and that is sad.
Well, we're very sorry, and let me send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that that's a book that will help you there. When we come back, we'll talk to Mina from Elk Grove, California. Mina, how are you?
I'm great,
okay.
Thanks.
Just hold on there. We'll get right to you. And you, please, you hold on to. Don't touch that dial. And by the way, if you're a giver to this ministry, How We Love Our Kids is the gift. And to you by Mylon and Kay Yurkovich. Isn't that a cute little cover? Mm-hmm. Those cute little people on there? And if you can't see it, just trust me that it's cute, okay? Are you making fun of me, Henry?
Well, it just occurred to me. There are no dials anymore.
Oh,
don't touch that dial.
That's true.
Don't
we should talk
laughing.
About that.
Dials have gone away.
Yeah.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arteburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert.
Out of these ashes.
If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Oh, we are back. I got a wonderful note here. Thank you for the great help and your prayers. Every Man's Battle, along with other books and some counseling, has made a full change in my husband. The Lord has opened his eyes and spiritualized to things, his heart and spiritualized to things that only God could do. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness and for you being there for us. We listen and see you on Scottsville, Kentucky, Channel 48 TV station. That would be, I believe, that's the Family Net network there. But thank you for that note. We appreciate those. And Mina from Elk Grove, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome. How could we help you today?
Well, I'm calling about my 21-year-old son.
Okay.
I was married for 17 years to a raging alcoholic, very abusive husband, and I ended up having a nervous breakdown 5 years ago, and my son used to protect me, and he always used to be there to stop the fight or tell my husband to get away from me, and my ex-husband tried to kill me 3 times, and my son was there to stop it.
Yeah.
And he was always there for me.
Right. Now, how's it going now?
Well, now my son has become best friends with my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he works for him. He goes on trips with him. And they just came back from Venice. and they go on wine tastings together.
Okay.
He owns a
so
restaurant.
What's your relationship like with your son?
It's terrible.
Because
he
you don't...
He doesn't respect me.
Hmm. What do you mean?
He doesn't talk to me. He comes and goes as he pleases. He doesn't tell me where he's going.
How old is he?
He's 21.
So he lives with you?
And he lives with me. And he doesn't have dinner with us anymore. He's always with his dad.
Who's us? With us? Who's us?
Oh, I'm remarried. And I have three other children.
Yeah. Well, let me just apart from all these family struggles and this, that, and the other, you know, when somebody's 21, usually they move out and have their own life, and they don't come back mm-hmm. to family dinners. And so I would see in a perfectly normal, and I know a lot of families like that, where, you know, somebody may be late college or something, and they don't do family dinners. They have their own life, and like they would if they're
kind of come and go.
An adult. Yeah, they kind of come and go. So I don't hear a problem in that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but he always sticks up for his dad.
Well, let me tell you something. It is very common for a child to take out all of their anger on the parent that didn't do something about the other one.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Why didn't
wow.
you change it? Why didn't you fix it, mother? You know, mm-hmm. those things are going on. Man, she could have called somebody. She could have blogged. Gone, I mean, she could have searched the internet. She could have gone to meetings.
And
if
there was attempted, was there really attempted murder twice?
Yes.
Oh. Why, were the police involved?
Yes.
How did he get out of jail?
Because nothing happened, he got out. Hmm.
So, Mina, you're really hurting, it sounds like, today, mm-hmm. because in spite of all this, you feel like you're losing your son?
Yes.
Yeah, and that just hurts.
Yeah,
it hurts a lot because mm-hmm. he and I used to be best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were so close. And what the twist is, he's not even his father.
Does he know that?
Yes, he knows that.
Okay. Okay. But this is the man who he saw as his dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you might want to think about having a conversation with him and asking him to forgive you for not doing some of the things that maybe he expected you to do as a mother or when you were going through this really rough time.
Okay.
It might help something there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think another really good idea is, as Jill has kind of put her finger on, you're going through a loss here, and it's a season of life. It's a transition where
yeah.
the closeness that you had when he was a little boy and when he was an older
your
boy.
Your protector.
Yeah, you know, that was a really good, valid season of life, but that season really has ended. And that's God's design. You know, kids grow up and they leave home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you've got to do is you got to figure out, you know, that void and that loss and that emptiness. You got to figure out what you're going to fill that with. And the first mm-hmm. place I would start is in a community of people where you establish some really good close relationships and find out what your next season is about.
Well, and see, you remarried, and so you no longer needed him to be your protector. You got new protector. And, you know, it's really common for boys in adolescence to start to identify more with dad.
Yeah.
And even if he's not a great dad, he's still the dad that he has known. And so he's trying to identify with him so that he can become more of a man.
And he's, when the boy's 21, he's a safe dad. He's not, I mean, obviously, if he's choosing
right,
to be with
right.
him.
Right, he's
then,
seen some good parts of dad, perhaps.
So, I'm so sorry.
But it still hurts as a mom.
Yeah, so sorry. And just hold on. I want us to see if we can get some counseling for you. And I'll send you Healing as a Choice, which talks about the need to grieve things. And it really is a big loss. And I'm glad that you called, and I'll ask our listeners to pray for you that things will work better with you and your son. We'll take a break. We'll come back for the second half of New Life Live right after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. And if Jim is available, I will take his call. But I guess he's not available right now. Jim on line 7. We'll come to him next. He will be next. How about Mary from Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, last April I called in because I heard a dropped phone call with my husband, and it seemed like he was with another woman, and he denied it, and I was told at that time, the first time I heard, that he had sex addiction problems, and he really denied it, said it was just at Starbucks, that's where he works, and whatever, and I was recommended to give him the book Every Man's Battle and get him to the workshop, and it took till like 8 months until this past weekend, and he, prior to going, he had a change up. He had a heart. He confessed a lot to me, and he went, and multiple women, multiple encounters, and was guilting me about not being able to connect in the marriage when all of this stuff was going on. And
now that was before he went to the workshop, right?
Right. So he went to the workshop and he got back and he thinks, okay, I'm a new man. Let's just, you forgive me and let's move on, move forward. And I need time and I need.
Sure.
I believe there's hope for my marriage and our two daughters. And I want to be willing to do that. But
yeah.
I need time and I need
sure.
forgiveness as a process. And
sure.
I don't know. Sexual addiction was a symptom, and there's other issues like financial responsibility.
Right.
And he thinks because he's not struggling right now, he's fit,
Mary, just like when you first confronted him, he denied it and said no, and it took you 8 months of holding your position to get him to see, okay, so now he's had this great experience. But they usually talk about there is, you know, kind of some aftercare that he needs to do.
Sustained victory.
This is the beginning of a new way of living. It doesn't mean that all is solved. And of course, it's going to take you a while to catch up. And so, you know, he may want to move on because that's what he's feeling and that's where he's at right now. But even when we change, there are still consequences to how we've lived.
Have you read Every Heart Restored, the book for women whose wives are sex addicts?
I have that. It was recommended, but in terms of specific infidelities, multiple women, and that's very hard to... I did read it.
Okay.
It's just even intimacy. I mean, the expectation for restored relationships.
Sure.
Right. Let me give you sort of an analogy.
I want a real change.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me give you an analogy that might help. If let's say that somebody came along and took a knife and stabbed you or cut you, right? Well, you got this big wound, and let's say that they apologize and said they're sorry, and you could probably, you know, take some step at that point and say, okay, I forgive you, which means to cancel the debt. I'm not going to hold this against you now that you've repented and this, that, and the other. And you could forgive them that day, but that wound is going to take months and months and months to heal because there's a healing process that is separate from forgiveness. And what your husband is saying is that if you've forgiven him, you should be healed and you should be ready to use that wounded arm again. Mm-hmm. Well, every time you try to pick up something, which is connection with him, you've got this really open cut. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you haven't forgiven him. And somewhere a counselor, I think, should explain to him exactly what you're saying. You know, we have deep empathy for you. That's a lot of betrayal. It doesn't mean you're holding it against him. It just means that it takes time to heal. And actually, it would be part of his recovery to take a different stance and come out of an entitled stance to where he immediately is demanding, you know, like everything is fine or feels entitled to that because he said he's sorry.
Yeah, and you're not alone.
He needs to learn compassion.
It's a common thing. He comes back and all he's doing is live up to his vows and got all this off his chest, and then there you are. And if that's why we encourage people to he goes to every man's battle, and then you come to the New Life Weekend, and you get in a group together, and that's where he hears from other people, as he did at the workshop. He heard this. You can't rush this. She is going to be upset when you confess to her for a long time. But it's difficult for a man who is excited about his new life and his integrity to take... Well, first of all, there's a lack of character in growth and development that's got to take place, and it's going to be a while before he's the man that you always wanted him to be. But I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you and him both, Every Man's Marriage and Every Woman's Marriage, and that's going to help you guys come together after this horrible thing. And I hope and pray that things are going to get better. Jill, did you have a comment you wanted to make?
I think that you're on the right track, and so I think you can, you know, applaud him for going, but that it's going to take time.
Yeah. All right. Okay, let's go to Jim from Denver, Colorado. KRKS is the station. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Hi.
How you doing?
Hey, Jim.
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, good.
I don't too much have a question, but I was going to just let you know, I listen off and on, and we're actually at church, we're taking a boundaries class, really enjoy it.
Oh, cool.
Watching the videos, but I did have a comment and possibly maybe a suggestion if possible.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
I'm in some counseling right now, and they say concentrate on yourself, so that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to ask you guys, just because I've heard Hank Hanegraaff, I heard June Hunt, I've heard you guys, and I've listened to you guys for 2 or 3 years or more, and I can only listen for about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes before I hear people interrupting. What I'm going to ask is if you guys could work on yourselves, all the men, could not interrupt, and you could ask the listener, hey, you have 30 seconds to explain it or explain the ground rules or something to them before they get on the phone.
Yeah.
But because I know you guys have a time limit. I understand that. But what really turned me off from Hank Hanegraaff was he had the Bible, he had the truth, but he interrupted everyone. And it just really gave Christianity a bad name.
Okay.
And I love you guys, but I just cannot stand to listen to this. And you guys are very wise, but people, they're in a hurting state, and they just, I think what it turns off mostly is the objective listener who's trying to understand the victim, which is the counselee.
Yeah.
So if you guys could take a little counsel today, if you don't mind, try to
take some of our own medicine.
Yeah, maybe give them the ground rules before they get on the phone. Say, okay, you have like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever, because they are under a time limit and they've got to get, you know, I don't know, X amount of counselees in per hour, because that's just who they are.
Jim, I appreciate you saying this, mm-hmm. and I don't want to defend anything, because we all need to do better at what we do. But I did want you to know that we have a call screener, and the call screener's job is to hear the problem and then to counsel that person and coach them on asking the question first, so that we can ask questions. And it's just doesn't happen very often. But I tell you, because you called, I'm going to notice when I'm interrupting. And I'll do it less, and your call will have been an effective call.
Okay, and I love you guys. So I don't want to pick up any more time.
Jim,
you guys are awesome.
Let me ask you, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, you know, and Jill will probably identify this as well. You know, we're both clinicians, and we're used to sitting with people where, you know, you got the better part of an hour, mm-hmm. and you can really hear all the details and hear everything unfold and connect with the pain and all of that sort of stuff. And one of the difficult things in doing a radio show like this is part of the clinician part of me, mm-hmm. you know, is always wanting to hear. I want to get all the details, and I want to hear all of the, you know,
right.
on and on and on. And in a, you know, when you've got a minute and a half or something, sometimes when people are going into the backstory and all the related stuff, it is really difficult kind of to get to something that we could not only help them with, but also maybe give some answers that a lot of people could use.
Yeah.
And I just have a question for you. Does it ever get, in any calls, does it ever get frustrating to you that it goes on too long before we get to a question or a problem?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So I
totally understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but in your opinion, we're not going to that problem. We're not having that problem as much as we're interrupting people too quickly.
Well, and maybe if you had just one person say, "Hey," like maybe the lady or okay.
Hold on, I gotta interrupt. Sorry about that.
Right,
hold on.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are. but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. We were talking with Jim. Jim, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
I just want to apologize for interrupting you in your call to complain about us interrupting. I had to interrupt you for the break.
No worries.
All right. Appreciate your call. And notice we didn't say to you anything like, so what was your mother like to you? You know, we didn't go into anything like that. So we appreciate you. And let me send you a Life Recovery Bible for telling the truth.
Yes, sir. And we really appreciate your videos. So the boundaries, we just went through our first week, and we're just in awe. We really appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Oh, cool.
Thanks, man.
Everybody needs it. Champions get counseling.
Thank you.
Thank you. Really thank you for counseling. Your comments.
I didn't know that until about 4 or 5 years ago, and I was like, wow. Hmm. So you guys are doing miracles.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. And let me just say, I do hear that it can be really frightening for people to call. And it's about your life, so you get anxious about that. And we don't want to be insensitive.
Yeah.
However, we do want to get to the heart of things.
Right.
And so we're trying to balance that.
Let's talk to Barry from Baltimore, WRBS's station. Are you there, Barry?
Yes, I am.
The chances of you being interrupted have never been less on this program.
We're all going to be mute.
So how could we help you? And we beg you to keep it short because we're not going to interrupt. I guarantee you.
Okay.
All right.
How do I know when or how do I forgive a person who has offended me?
Okay. Who is it and what did they do?
Well, it's a friend and also a pastor.
Okay.
And I walked in on a very unfortunate situation, and where he was being unfaithful to his wife.
Mm.
And he said that he would he said that he wouldn't do it, and he said that he would do certain things, but he never did it. He never did the things, and it took me 4 years to really confront him with the leaders, and so he lied and misused the scripture. Mm-hmm. And manipulated me emotionally and all those things to keep me from going as far as it had to go because he didn't do the things that he said he would do.
Yeah, okay.
And so I want to make sure that I am forgiving him for his offense because I've had to move on.
Why do you question whether or not you've forgiven him?
Because he's still in the position as leader, and I don't believe he should be there. Hmm. And maybe there are some, you know, some resentment or some things that I just don't know that I have forgiven.
So
and that's what I need to know. I need to know whether I have, and if I haven't, how do I do that?
Well, why don't we just start with what forgiveness would look like? You know, forgiveness has to do with. The literal word is to cancel a debt. You're not holding it against him anymore. You're not trying to punish him. You're not seeking revenge. That you are basically letting him off the hook for what he did, right? That's what God does with us. Now, if you did that, what you would also be doing is being open to moving forward, but that moving forward and trusting and all of that would be subject to his repentance. And that's more of a reconciled thing. A reconciled relationship is where two parties can come back together and be okay with each other. You can forgive somebody without them ever either appropriating that forgiveness or joining it and saying they're sorry or, you know, whatever it is. But if he's not repenting for you to feel like that you would be close to him or trust him, or you've got a secondary problem with him. The first problem you might have forgiven him for, now you're bugged that he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing in your view. And either you try to solve that problem and step up and talk to the elders or whoever, right. And if they don't listen, you might have to give it up and just move on to a place that does things, you know, the way you think is the right way to do them.
Well, and here's the other thing. If somebody cheats on their wife and you walk in on them, you're holding it against them, which is the right thing to do. You're holding that against. And when they say, I'll resign or I'll do this or that, well, you're going to hold it against them until they do what they say they would do. You're going to expect them to live up to that accountability that they need. He does need to step down. And so you're still 4 years later. I hope you've forgiven him, but I also hope you won't give up keeping him to the standard that should be set by all pastors.
Well, but I mean, I'm in no real position to, I guess, hold him to that standard.
And,
right.
And that's frustrating, isn't it? Because here, you are the one that caught him. I mean, he offended more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And you went out on a limb and really tried to do the right thing. And it sounds like you're kind of the bad guy, and he's looking good.
Yeah.
And that's a hard place to be.
And you won't be the first person who tried to get a church to do the right thing and basically realized that you got to go to another church, if that's actually what's happening here.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad you called. And let's send necessary endings to him.
Mm.
There's a necessary ending that needs to take place. We'll remind everybody that Thursday, March 31st, we're going to have a full hour with Jason Martinkus, and that's going to be about every man's battle. And we have our marriage conference in May, the 13th through the 15th. That's in Washington, D.C., and the New Life Weekend in Philadelphia, July 22nd through the 24th. And our next Every Man's Battle is April 8th through the 10th. And don't forget our Holy Land Tour. We're going to be over there. It'll be a 10-day trip from the 6th to the 16th. Stephen Curtis Chapman, John Townsend, Sherry Denham, Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, all of us will be going. And we think it's just going to be a phenomenal time. So please call us if you'd like to be part of that. Our ministry is supported by its listeners. That is the only way that we get to stay on the air. And I hope and pray that you can support us. If you do support us, I hope you'll continue. And if you don't, maybe God is nudging you towards supporting the ministry. And don't resist that nudge if it comes from God. We'd love to send you a new book by Mylon and Kay Yurkovich. It's called How We Love Our Kids. Jill, you've actually read that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. I think it's the perfect sequel to How We Love.
Yeah, and it essentially talks about how our problems become our children's problems, mm-hmm. or our insights and growth benefit our children in our different styles, whether it's avoidant or whatever. So that's our gift to you if you support the ministry. Also, for $110, which is the average price of one day of radio, we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible as our gift to you.
In one area.
In one area, one day
one station.
Is
one
day on one station.
Mm-hmm. It's the average. Some don't charge us, some charge us a lot. And 1 week is $550. If you could help us, if you could support us in that way, what a cool thing to feel like you were the one that allowed that day to happen. And that if you can do that, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to the website at newlife.com. All of the things that we're involved with are on that website, all of our conferences coming up, and our resources. Some really great resources there, including Henry's new book, Necessary Endings. And if you're involved in a relationship that should have died 2 decades ago, then you might want to consider Necessary Endings. But it applies to the business world, too. A very, very insightful book. My thanks to Dr. Henry Cloud and to Dr. Jill Hubbard and to all of you. Thank you for listening. Those that support us, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. And hope you'll be doing the right thing for the right reasons at the right time all the rest of this day. We'll see you next time here on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.